Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sharing Humanity, a podcast produced by Manulife to help Canadians stay mentally, physically, and financially healthy during the COVID-19 pandemic. My name is Greg Bish, and I'm from Manulife. And today, we're focused on relationships and the challenges that COVID-19 has created while cooped up at home. This podcast is intended for educational purposes only and is not a substitute for help from a licensed therapist or health professional. Talk to one if you're struggling with a mental health or family issue. Joining me today is Dr. Georgia Pamaki, leader of mental health specialists in Manulife Group Benefits and an instructor at Pacific Coast University for Workplace Health Sciences. She's a clinical psychologist by training and has a PhD in occupational mental health. So welcome, Georgia.
Hi.
It's really nice to have you back again on Sharing Humanity. How have you been?
I'm doing really well, thank you, and great to be here.
So we've been isolated for a while now, and today we want to focus on relationships, because during the pandemic, people obviously who have people that they live with are spending a lot more time with them. And for some people, that's been a really positive thing. And others who aren't used to spending that much time together, they're struggling a bit because it's a really new dynamic. What are some of your initial thoughts on that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely agree with you. I was thinking about that the other day, and the situation that we're living in or through right now, it's really challenging for us as individuals to begin with. And I don't really think that we are really our best self to start with. So it's not really surprising that spills over to our relationship sometimes. We used to live with each other and maybe take each other in smaller dosages in a relationship. Yeah.
Yep.
And I think that's changed quite a bit. And dosage really matters. So, and I think we're really discovering that now. At the same time, I think we have to think about our essential workers that are not really going through the same thing, right?
So, right, of course.
I'm thinking of essential workers because they might be going through different challenges when it comes to returning to home and what they deal with when they come back and the stressors they face.
So, absolutely.
Yeah. So all of that is happening at the same time.
If you are living with a significant other or living with friends, what are some of the biggest impacts people are having right about now?
I've heard of a few scenarios that are playing out, and of course, these are not the only ones that really struck me. So, of course, different for households where the partners are working versus households where perhaps there's loss of employment. I think they're dealing with a lot of different stressors there. So financial stressors and also the uncertainty of having lost your job and what's going to happen. So I think that's really important. Of course, the households of essential workers that we just discussed. And there is also co-parenting challenges. Co-parenting, of course, is a challenge the best of times. If you have two different households, separated parents, the whole isolation now really, I think, brings that to another level. How are you going to deal with the back and forth and how is that going to work out? So, you know, not something that we're really ever given a lot of thought, right? Because never had to deal with these things. Now, dealing with the rules of relationship that are starting to change, that's how it almost feels like. And how do we really coexist when we're isolated? We're only kind of looking in because we can't, you know, there's not a lot of outward looking because there's not much outside to do or to go to. So sometimes looking in really, you know, magnifies a lot of the issues that were pre-existing or perhaps gives rise to things that we never noticed before and now we're noticing for the first time. My husband was noticing after being, you know, 20 years together, was noticing something in me that, well, has always been there. But I said, well, you never noticed before because it wasn't very much of it, you know. So now it's more noticeable. So he was very surprised to hear that.
Yeah, I think we're all learning new things about each other. For me, one complaint my wife always had about me is that when she would text me while I was at work, it would take me so long to get back to her. But then now, being in the same house, she realized, well, you're probably in a meeting, like you're really, really busy. That's why you're not getting back to me right away. And when I'm not busy, she comes into the room where I've been working, and we can chat during the day. And for us, like, there's definitely, I don't want to say there hasn't been challenges. There's definitely been challenges, but it's actually, it all has equaled out to a fairly positive thing. But I know that that hasn't been the case for everyone. Before we dig too much deeper, I want to talk to about what are some things people can keep in mind about communication. Like you said, you have to kind of start anew with the relationship and set new boundaries. And how can you approach each other in a kind of constructive way?
Yeah, we've all been a little bit surprised by this whole situation. And one day we were told you have to stay home, be home and stay home. And I think it's a shock to, it was a shock to everyone that we're actually, this was actually happening, right? So that's, I think acknowledging that we're living through a very stressful time and we're all in that same shock is important. It's not just ourselves that's in shock, also our partners is also in the same situation. And knowing that some of the issues that we've perhaps noticed in the past, we expect to perhaps become bigger as we're all kind of in that, in a way, in a more stressful environment, right? So that acknowledging a thing is very important. I know that a lot of people think of like magic solutions, but I always find that acknowledging that we're all in this together and that maybe I can cut my partner some slack one day and, you know, it's not going to be too long before that favor is returned, you know, so because we're all struggling to adjust, and it might be more difficult for some people than others, right? So it's important to acknowledge that too. Maybe isolation is very difficult for some people and maybe a little bit less difficult for others. So just supporting each other's understanding that our kind of sensitivities to things. I think then think about the issue of complaints. Complaints are difficult in relationships.
Right. Oh, yeah. Always.
Yeah, always. Complaining is really not great. It's really not great for relationships.
No.
So, yeah, and it's not like we're not all complaining. We all complain about our partners. And I think in this environment, we might notice more things perhaps in our partner, or maybe we're just more sensitive to the things that have already been there. So, so that's important. So I think it's important to say, okay, maybe I can hold back. Maybe it's not really the best time to complain right now about this. Maybe take a perspective. How important is this in the grand scheme of things, you know, in the grand scheme of our relationship, of what we offer each other? How big of a deal is that? Like if my partner is messy, for example, they've always been messy. They will always be messy. Is there really a point in complaining? So, you know, if my partner is supportive, is really meeting a lot of my needs, you know, creating conflict or creating a problem here by complaining about this particular characteristic, will it really make a difference in a positive way or in a negative way? And, you know, does it really matter?
It sounds to me like you're encouraging people to be empathetic with each other. And there's a similar theme to when we talked about parenting in this situation, is that if we're looking for perfection, we're going to be upset. And sometimes we have to figure out what is good enough.
Yeah.
It sounds like,
Yeah. And really about dealing with situations together as a team, because we're stronger as a team than we are as individuals. So if we're thinking that we have a problem to solve at home, and I have an opinion, my partner has an opinion, we still have the problem to solve. It's still a problem that belongs to both of us. So more like saying, okay, how can we solve this together, instead of saying you want this and I want that? Well, it's still, we might end up not solving the problem if we have this kind of attitude and approach, right? So it's more about, okay, this is a problem that we both have to live with, or maybe have to solve. How are we going to do that? And approaching it from that perspective, sometimes even physically arranging yourself to be next to your partner versus facing them. Sometimes there's little tricks like that you can do to actually change your perspective.
as you mentioned before, there is a lot going on for people, and there are cases where people have lost their jobs and dealing with a lot of stressors. So conflicts are going to happen. When you are in a conflict with your partner, what are some of the best ways to deal with that? Like, is it better sometimes to walk away and come back when everyone's calmed down?
Yeah, when the couple has reached a conflict phase, then we know it's going to take some time to really untangle the situation. So when we start climbing the ladder of conflict and associated emotions, you know, it's going to take a while. It's not like something that you can change in a switch. So I think walking away could be necessary, or is something temporary, especially if children are around, or if it helps as a way to de-escalate the situation. You need time to cool off. It works best if the couple has agreed that walking away is the best step for them to deal with a conflict. If you've already agreed that, you know, when this happens and we start, as I said, to climb up the ladder of the conflict and all the emotions around it. And mm-hmm. It's probably best if we both take time off, and you can even tell each other, we can have signs to tell each other that when that moment comes and either one of the two people, both people can walk away. It's a temporary thing to mm-hmm. just de-escalate. It doesn't resolve the conflict because the problem is still there, right? So, so I think in terms of resolving the problem, we always try to find like a win-win solution, right?
Okay.
Sometimes it's a compromise. Sometimes that is like nobody gets really the full deal of what they want,
right?
But by compromising, they get some of it. Both get mm-hmm. some of it. And sometimes it's about taking it in turns, about whose needs will be met in that point. I think it's important when there is a conflict is to be able to ask questions to understand what are the other person's concerns and ask mm-hmm. ourselves if there's anything that I can compromise on.
Mm-hmm.
Can I compromise on something so that we can resolve this? It's mm-hmm. it's important to do that. Or maybe I can ask, can I forgive this?
Right.
Can I let it go? Can we agree to disagree?
Mm-hmm.
These are all good questions to kind of keep in mind, to know if you do have conflict in a couple, just to have a few questions that you ask yourself so that you don't let it escalate.
Mm-hmm.
For some couples, humor works. It can be effective. It has to be done in the way that works for the couple. So sometimes seeing things from that kind of perspective of humor could be good.
Right.
And at the end of the day, go ahead.
You kind of have to know your partner is open to humor.
Because exactly.
If they're not.
then it's almost like you're minimizing the situation.
Right.
Yeah, but sometimes, you know, you can see the funny, sometimes even in very escalated situation, sometimes they can see the funny part of it. And,
mm-hmm.
and you can see that people start to, it's disarming, right? So, you
know. Yeah, exactly.
At the end of the day, we have to acknowledge that conflict is going to happen. Like, it always happens in couples, and maybe a bigger problem now in the situation we're living through. And it's natural. It is expected to happen, but it's more about resolving it in a way that people don't come out of it feeling hurt
mm-hmm.
and feeling that their relationship cannot be repaired.
Right.
That's the important piece of it.
Now, there are times where couples will get into a disagreement and the kids are around. What advice do you have when you have your butting heads and you can feel it escalating, but the children are in the room?
Yeah, I mean, definitely it's recommended not to have conflict resolution or conflict happening when the kids are around. So We know that they can be emotionally impacted by conflict. And we're not talking about minor disagreements. You know, we're talking about conflict here. So,
Yeah.
So,
like an escalated shouting and
shouting. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That or conflict that is, there's a real, you know, conflictual emotion there. So,
mm-hmm. like people's fight or flight responses are engaged and all
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think it's important to, for example, you can talk about the issues when the kids have gone to bed, or maybe if you can step outside the home to discuss That's important. I think it's important to agree in advance what you're going to do if something like this happens when the kids are around and what you need to know, rather than waiting for it to happen and then you don't know what you're supposed to be doing. And one person goes the one way, the other person goes the other way.
Right, right.
So this is where it's important to maybe walk away, because you can't resolve a conflict when the kids are around, and perhaps walking away basically at least prevents them from experiencing the full effect of it. Yeah.
And then walking away, of course, is only good if you come back to it later.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
When maybe, perhaps the kids are not around.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the next question, we actually talked a bit before recording today, because we weren't sure whether we wanted to broach this topic or not. So we're going to explore it. But for some people, it's not only a challenge, but it can be a safety risk, because they're stuck in a bad relationship or an abusive situation, and now they're isolated. Canada's Department for Women and Gender Equality, for example, said there's been a 20 to 30% increase in the rates of gender-based violence or domestic violence during this time of isolation. If people happen to be listening to this podcast and are going through a situation like that, what are some of the things that they need to keep in mind?
Yeah, this is a very serious issue, and I really think it doesn't get discussed enough. I was relieved to hear that our federal government has announced now emergency funding for women's shelters and other services for those who experience gender-based violence. So I think that's a really good step in the right direction, because more resources are needed, and people do need to have resources available to call for help or know where the nearest shelter is. That's the first thing, and very important to know about. There is information online about these resources, and that's specific to where the individual lives and the particular needs, whether they have children or not. So also we have to keep in mind that in many cases where there is domestic violence, there is also violence towards children. Mm-hmm. So sometimes mothers have to make choices about how they need to respond to this situation. So it's very difficult. So in every situation is different. So I think what's important to say here is very important to reach out to the right resources, to get advice about our particular situation, what's the safest way to approach it. There is free legal support provided at the provincial level that individuals can reach out to. And it's important to remind every person that we're not alone. There are resources that can help us get out of the situation that is a safety risk for ourselves and for other family members, and they'll understand, and that the resources will understand us, they will listen to us, and they will help us keep us safe. So I think it's important to give a message of hope, and that a message of there is a solution out of what they're experiencing right now towards a better, safer future.
Yeah, I think that's well said. And it's certainly, they're not alone in the sense that it is all too common, and certainly on the rise right now.
Yeah.
So maybe on ending on a little bit of a more positive note, there is an opportunity with this isolation in spending more time with your loved ones or with your roommates or what have you. You're spending more time together than you ever have. Is there an opportunity here to connect in new ways and make the relationship richer?
Yeah, it's interesting, because sometimes couples have trouble connecting because they say they don't have time, right? They don't have time together. It's never time together. It's never enough time to really get to know each other, really get to know each other. So I think we definitely have that now.
Whether we like it or not. Yeah,
that's right. So that's definitely, having that extra time together could be very beneficial for reconnecting. Maybe it's a good time to tackle some of the unfinished business that we sometimes have gathered, you know, over the years, whether it's, you know, fixing things around the house or getting a wheel maybe getting a will online, you know, some of these things that people do. Or maybe, you know, couples might want to create a budget together on their computer. And, you know, there's all these things that we always intend to do that we feel that will make our relationship stronger, because we'll feel we'll have more certainty, more safety around us. And we never get around it. So some of these things might be good to do. And maybe there are some chores, some things that we really kind of had on our to-do list to do with our partner, but we never really had time to sit down together and do it, right? So that's kind of nice. I think it might be a nice opportunity also to explore each other's interests. My husband, for example, well, he's been joining me in my online Pilates class.
Really?
Well, yeah. Well, the first time I suggested that he do that with me, that was a few years ago, his answer was never. So, but you know,
but he's agreed to do it.
He's really liking it. And equally, I am joining him more in his cycling. So, you know, yeah, so I'm exploring that more and enjoying it too. So we're just enjoying each other's interests more and out of necessity, really, because I don't think we would have ever done it. But I would say most relationships definitely benefit from like having some breaks.
Yes.
Yeah, whether it's means spending time home, but in, maybe at home, but in different space, you know, give each other a little bit of space, or maybe take some time for yourself and give your partner some space as well.
It sounds like that you need some time alone, but to approach it like with a sense of adventure, of an experience that you can live through together and remember and look back on fondly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Georgia, thank you very much for agreeing to be a guest on our Saving Humanity podcast for a second time. I really got a lot of great information out of this. I'm going to play it for my family as well to see what they think of it. And I just really appreciate your time and thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a pleasure.
Well, take care.
Take care. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Sharing Humanity podcast. Please, if you're struggling with a mental health or family issue, make sure you talk to a licensed therapist or health professional. Also, for more important and useful information during this time, check out our coronavirus page at manulife.ca.